I tell you, Terry and Paul, this fella's making $100,000 a year. Don't sing that good. That's back. That was exceptionally good. I really enjoyed that so very, very, very much. All right, Paul read from Colossians. Don't turn there. Turn rather to John chapter 11. But the last statement he read in Colossians 3, verse 11, Jesus Christ is all and in all. Jesus Christ is all and in all. And that's my subject tonight. I pray the Lord will give me some wisdom and some liberty and all of us some understanding of just exactly what that means. Jesus Christ is all and in all. Now in John 11, most of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture. This is the account of the raising of Lazarus. There were two sisters and a brother down in Bethany, in this little town. And they had a home there, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And our Lord often was in that home. Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. Martha, you remember, cumbered with much. You know the story. Well, they sent word to the master that he whom thou lovest. They didn't say he who loves you. They said he whom thou lovest is sick. And you know, Christ tarried, and Lazarus died, and he was in the grave some time, and finally the Lord came to Bethany. And when Martha found out that the Master had come, she went running out to meet him. And Martha made two or three statements. You're familiar with these statements. First of all, she said to the Lord, she said, now, if you had been here, he would not have died. I know that. She knew that. That's what she believed. She really believed if Christ had been there, that wouldn't have taken place. And that she believed that very strongly. And she said, but I know even now something else I believe. I know even now that whatever you ask the Father, he'll do. You could do something about it even now. I believe that. And the Lord said, well, Martha said, your brother will rise again. Oh, she said, I know. He'll rise again in the resurrection. I believe that. She believes some things. I don't know whether here or where, but she believes some things. And then he made this statement, and I read this one time. I read this for years and years and years before it really ever came through. Have you ever done that, read Scripture and read Scripture and read Scripture, and then one day you finally saw what that was saying? Then he said to her, John 11, verse 25. John 11, 25. Jesus saith unto her, Martha, I am the resurrection. My friends, the resurrection is not even to be considered apart from Christ. He's the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. The disciples didn't believe in the doctrine of the resurrection. They didn't preach the doctrine of the resurrection. They walked with the risen Lord. They preached the risen Lord. There's a whole lot of difference. He said, I'm the resurrection. Watch it. And I am the life. You needn't even talk about life if you don't know Christ. Christ is the life. I'm the way, the truth. I'm the life. He doesn't only give life. He is life. He is life. To have Christ is to have life already. Listen to what he said next. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Lazarus is asleep. He never did say Lazarus was dead till the disciples got so confused. He said, Lazarus asleep. And Peter said, one of them said, let's go sleep with him. He sleeps. He's doing well. You know, I have a hard time sleeping. Finally, he said, well, he's dead. In your language, he's dead. My language, he's asleep. Because he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He never dies. That's right. Read the next verse. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, Martha, do you believe this? This is a whole new experience. I know, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. I know, Lord, that even now you can change the situation. I know that he'll rise. Martha, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth on me will never die. Now, you believe this? You see, this is clear throughout the Word of God. Don't turn to these scriptures. Let me just read a few to you. I can turn more quickly, but if you're taking notes, John chapter 3, verse 34. Listen, let me just read it to you. This is what I'm saying. Christ is the life. Christ is the resurrection. Christ is salvation. All things are in Christ. Apart from Christ, we have nothing relating to God. Absolutely nothing. And we have these things through him and in him because of him, and we have them when we have him. Now listen to this. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hands. John Flavel once said, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And those spiritual blessings are ours by union with Christ. See, the spiritual blessings are in him, and only yours when you're in the vine. If you're in the vine, then you have the blessings. He that hath the Lord hath the blessing. And that union with him is accomplished by faith. And that faith comes through the Word of God, what we're doing tonight. Believe in him. He that believeth. That's what the next verse says. So the Father hath given everything into his hands, and he that believeth on him hath everlasting life. Believeth on Christ. All right, listen to this. Well, you know this one, Romans 8:32. You can quote it. God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him, in him, through him, by him, give us all things? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all? Where are all things? The Father hath given all things into his hand, and in him we have all things. Listen to this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is, I brought a message on this just recently. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 15. For he, verse 27, the Father hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it's manifest that he is exempted, accepted, which put all things under. There's just one that's not under the Son, that's the Father. That's how complete all things are under Christ. Everything's in him, of him, and under him, except the Father. Isn't that what I said? For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it's manifest that he is accepted that put all things there. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all. Now listen to this. In Ephesians 1, and you've read this many times, but I'm going to read it again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Listen. Talked about exalting him far above all principalities and powers, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but in that world which is to come. Now listen. And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, who filleth the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All things. There's nothing that's not put under him except the Father. All the things in Christ. All right, listen to this. Colossians 2. This is the theme of the epistle. You know, the Old Testament says someone's coming. The four Gospels says he's come. And the epistles tell you all about the one who has come. And all the blessings and benefits and promises we have in him. Now listen to Colossians 2. For in him, verse 9, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I mean the fullness of grace, the fullness of mercy, the fullness of righteousness, the fullness of love, the fullness of power. It's all in Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in him. You're complete in him. Absolutely nothing needs to be added if you have Christ. Nothing. Anything that eclipses Christ is not of God. Anything that's better than Christ is not of God. I don't care who comes your way and talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the gifts of the Spirit or any kind of experience. Anything that's better than when you met Christ, God's not in it, because everything's in Christ. If I have Christ, I have everything. I have everything as a babe and then as a young man and then as an elder in Christ, but I have everything. That's why you're complete in Christ. And if you're looking for anything to add to Christ, you're looking for something that's not of God. And then that scripture Paul read a moment ago, Christ is all and in all. Christ is all. Now, here are five things I want you to consider. And we'll do a little running through the scripture now. Here are five basic truths concerning this topic. Jesus Christ is all and in all. First of all, Jesus Christ is all in the first creation. All. Now turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. I'm sure your pastor's read this before. I'm sure you've read it before. I'm sure he's read it here. But the Old Testament is a hymn book. H-I-M. Him. It's all about him. Christ is the Old Testament. Paul was reading the scripture to me a while ago. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness. Moses wrote of me, he said. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. You don't know a thing about the Old Testament till you see Christ on every page. That's right, you're missing the Old Testament. Christ is our Passover. Christ is that rock. Christ is that priest. Christ is the tabernacle. Christ is the Passover lamb. Christ is the serpent lifted up. Christ is all of them. And here in Proverbs 8, listen, beginning with verse 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forward. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forward. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then was I by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Who in the world could that be? You know, the Henry the Ethiopian eunuch said, of whom does the prophet speak, himself or some other man? I know of whom he speaks. Only one, Christ Jesus. Glorify me, he said, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. That's Christ there. Yeah, he's before all things. He made all things. John wrote in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was before all things. He made all things. All things were made by Him, and you know all things were made for Him. That's right, for Him. Turn to Colossians. Let's read that. Colossians chapter 1. I'm saying that Christ is all in the first creation. All in the first creation. Listen to verse 16. Or verse 14. Let's go back to Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood. That's Christ. Even the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. For watch it. By Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Things you see and things you don't see. Whether they be thrones or dominion, any power, any control, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness and I don't care what it is or who it is, visible or invisible, all things were created by Him and for Him. Even the wicked for the day of evil. That's right. God ruleth over all. Not a hair falls out of your head that's not under His control. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without my heavenly Father. Every day is ordered by the Lord. He declares the end from the beginning. There are no accidents but God. And He's before all things. Verse 17, and by Him all things exist, consist. Everything is held in check and order, perfect order. And He's the head of the church, head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in, here's that word again, all things, He might have the preeminence. He's going to have it too. If we can't learn that song here, we'll never sing it there, because everybody there is going, everybody in His temple is going to glorify Him. That's what David said. He has no rival. He has no competitor. He's jealous of His glory, and He'll not share it. And everybody who shares His kingdom will exalt His name. Preeminence. Not only that, but He has authority over all things. He said, all authority is given unto Me in heaven and earth. That's what He told His disciples before they went out to preach. He said, I have all power. All authority in heaven and earth. There's not anything out there with which you'll meet that I'm not in total control. All authority is given to Me in heaven and earth. Be encouraged. Be strong. Be not afraid. They'll harass you and persecute you and hate you, but everything's under My control. All authority is given unto Me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. He prayed in John 17, He said, Father, Thou hast given Me all authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Me. I'm looking for God's sheep. Paul told you about the boys in Finland. I was preaching down in Australia in September. Preached a building about this size. They rented a town hall next to the fire station. And they advertised it in the paper. I've known this pastor a long time, Brother Tim Myers. He's a pharmacist. Has a drugstore there in Tumut, and he's a pastor. Been there long, about my age, maybe a little younger. But he invited me, as I was coming through that area, just stop one night and preach. Spend a night with him and preach one night. And he advertised it ahead of time, and people would have filled this auditorium, wouldn't it, honey? It'd be about that many people there. I mean, just from everywhere. And to hear the American, you know, and he bragged on me a little. They came to hear me, some of his neighbors and friends and everybody. And after the service, that's when that young man walked up to me and he said, what's a fella from Kentucky doing in a little old town like this in Australia? He'd come from Finland. He was an engineer. He didn't even live there. He was just there on business, just like the eunuch passing Philip, ships in the night, you know. But God controls the night and the ships. And I said, I came here to tell you about Christ. He read about it in the paper. He'd never been inside that building, didn't know the pastor, didn't know a soul there. But he said, I'm just tired of religion and all that owl dragging and that sort of stuff, and I thought I'd come hear you preach. He said, by the way, what's this predestination you're talking about? I never heard of that. I said, God predestinated me to be here tonight and you to be here tonight, and us to talk about Christ. I sent him tapes and all those things. I tell you, he has all authority. And Paul and this fella and some more preachers and here and there and yonder, they're gonna cross the path of his sheep. You're gonna hear the gospel. He has all authority. He's there. Turn to Hebrews 1. Let's read about the heir. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says here, look at it just a moment. Hebrews 1, verse 2. God hath in these last days, Hebrews 1, 2, spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of. There it is again. All things. By whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholdeth what? All things. By the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of God. Christ is all in the old creation. But you know, secondly, Christ is all in the new creation. What's the new creation? Well, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We are created in Christ, a new creation. That's right. You know the first thing in the old creation? What's the first thing in the old creation? What did God do? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said, let there be light. The first thing God gave was light. And I'll tell you this, the first thing in the new creation, your heart's in darkness, my mind's in darkness, our ears in darkness, our eyes are in darkness. Darkness is everywhere. We don't know anything. We don't know anything about God. We can't see anything. And God says, let there be light. And that light's Christ. Now, Christ is the light. I am the light of the world, he said. John said, I'm not that light. I'm sent to bear witness of that light. And that's the first thing in this new creation, is Christ is the first thing. He is the light. God said, let there be light. Now, let's turn to Ephesians 1, and let me show you about this new creation. Ephesians chapter 1. He's all. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And Ephesians 1, now look at verse 3. Just quickly, I'll move through. You've seen this 100 times, but have you ever really seen it? Verse 3, all covenant mercies are in Christ. Listen, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Nothing left out now. In the heavenlies, where? In Christ. All the spiritual blessings are in Christ. Here they are, all the justification, sanctification, righteousness, redemption, forgiveness, mercy, love, acceptance. It's all in Christ. You don't add anything to it at all. That's right. It's all in Christ. All right, what's the next verse here now? And we're chosen in Christ according as he chose us in Christ. Christ be my first elect, God said, and then he chose you in your head. But Christ is his elect. You're chosen in him. Before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy, not because you were, but that you should be. Not because you were without blame, but that you should be without blame. And then we're sons of God by Christ. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, that is, we're now sons of God by Jesus Christ. I'm a son of God by Jesus Christ. People aren't sons of God. Everybody says, God's the father of all men. That's not so. That's not so. Not in the sense he's the father of his children. Christ turned to the Pharisees. He said, you're of your father the devil. They said, God's our father. He said, if God were your father, you'd love me. I'm the brother of those who are the sons of God. So we're sons of God by Jesus Christ. In verse 6, we're accepted in Jesus Christ to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he made us accepted in the beloved. We have never done anything, said anything, thought anything, given anything that God had held. But he accepts us and all we are in Christ. We're accepted in the beloved. He didn't make us acceptable. He accepted us. in the Beloved. We accept just like I am, just as I am, without one plea, but that His blood was shed for me. Just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark box. Just as I am, I'm accepted in the Beloved. If you have Christ, you have God. If you have Christ, you have acceptance. You believe on Christ. That's right. And verse 7 says, in whom, in Him, we have redemption. A ransom is found. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. My soul, don't look for it anywhere else. You're stupid to do that, and I am too. There it is right there. It's all in Christ. All spiritual blessings in Christ, chosen in Christ, made a son in Christ, accepted in Christ, redeemed in Christ, and have forgiveness in Christ. I'm not going to look anywhere else. I'm not going to fool around with anybody that is looking anywhere else. I don't want to be contaminated. That's right. It's Christ. That's all. He's all. Flavel said this. He said He's all from the Father. He's all to the Father, and He's all with the Father. He's all from the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He's all to the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's all with the Father. I set my King on the holy hill of Zion, kiss the Son. And be quick about it. Kiss the Son. I'm going to hurry and do that too. I don't want Him to pass me by to you. I'm not going to dilly-daddle about it. There ain't no use. There ain't no use dilly-daddling when God said, there it is. It's in Him. All right, thirdly, Christ is all in the gospel. What did Paul say? We preach Christ and Him crucified. And I know there are a lot of people who make some dangerous statements about this thing of preaching Christ. Brother Jim Bird, your pastor Paul, I, Tim, name these fellows who preach Christ. Todd, Wayne, just keep naming them. Gary, just all of them. They preach Christ. They say they preach Christ. And some fellow comes along and says, there's other things to preach besides Christ. That's dangerous now. That's dangerous. And I know they're trying to be liberal or whatever, but it's dangerous, Paul. It's dangerous to talk like that. When the Apostle Paul says, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and crucified. And if all things are in Christ, ain't no use me preaching anything but Christ, because all things are in Christ. That's right. He said, I'm a debtor both to the Jews and the Greeks. So much is in me, I'm determined to preach the gospel of Christ in Rome too. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed in Christ. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been preaching 40 years now, the gospel of God's grace. I tell you, every time I preach, I get something new, something fresh. A fellow down in Australia asked me, he said, you've been to that church pastor 39 years? I said, yeah. He said, don't you want to have something to say? I said, mister, Christ is my theme, and I've never exhausted that theme yet. And if God let me pastor him 10,000 years, I don't believe I'd exhaust that theme. Unsearchable riches of Christ. Unspeakable glory of Christ. Then you talk about running out of something to say. Goodness alive. It's Christ that we preach. It's Christ that sent me to preach. It's Christ that gave me the gift to preach. And if you take away Christ, I don't have nothing to preach. Are you in darkness? He's the light. Are you a sinner? He's the friend of sinners. Are you hungry? He's the bread. Are you thirsty? He's the water. Are you weary? He's our rest. Are you lonely? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Are you in trial? He's our peace.
Are you lost?
He came to seek and to save the lost. Are you poor? He's our riches. Are you dying? He's our life. I'll tell you, here's good news. Do you get, any of you get Marsh Montgomery's bulletin? There's some bulletins that are put out that Paul puts out a good bulletin. Maurice, Danny Blair. I get some of these bulletins. I'll sit and read them. They're good. Maurice had an article recently with five or six things. If you saw it, I bet Terry remembers it. He said, here's the good news. There's a holy God I can't please. In the flesh, no man can please God. But Christ did. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. There's a holy law I can't keep. To offend in one point to be guilty of all. But Christ did. He was born under the law, made of a woman, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He said, I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. That's an announcement, isn't it? What man could make a statement like that but Christ? I came to fulfill it. Everybody else backed away from the mountain. He walked right up it. Oh, there's a sin I can't get rid of. But He can. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He purged our sins Himself. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. There's a righteousness I can't produce. Christ said I had to have it. Like you wrote in that article just recently, if your righteousness doesn't exceed the scribes and the Pharisees, you lost. Well, I can't produce it, but He did. By the disobedience of one, I was made a sinner. By the obedience of one, I was made what? Righteous. Righteous. Just as righteous as God Himself. Some people may think that's blasphemous, but it's not. It's just the Son believing His Father. That's right. Oh, my. There's a judgment I can't endure. Don't bring me in judgment with thee. Well, how are you going to miss it? It says it's appointed unto men once to die after that judgment. How are you going to miss it? You know how I'm going to miss it? There's no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. And that's the only way you're going to miss it. Miss Praylin, that's the only way you're going to miss it, being Christ. Otherwise, you've got to stand there. I don't want to stand there. If you choose to plead your membership, your preaching, your gifts, your faithfulness, well, you just have to meet God in judgment, and He'll try you and see if you come up to the standard. You won't, but you have to give her a shot. But I don't want any part of that. Don't bring me into judgment with thee. But Christ has already gone into judgment, and there's no judgment, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That's right. He, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. It's over. I've been judged. And then there's an eternal death that we can't escape unless a ransom is paid. That's right. But there's been one. And there's no... God's not going to take a compromise. He's not going to bargain with you on this thing. He hath put all things in His hands. If you want in on all things, you're going to have to believe on Christ. That's it. Fourth thing. Christ is all in the worship of God. I know I hear people say, well, I don't believe in this Jesus business, but I worship God. You can't. There's no way. He said, let all the angels of God worship Him. Now, if all the angels who are worshiping Him, who are you with over here? Let all the angels of God, unto the Son, He saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. And all the angels of God worship Him. I'm going to be where they are. He's all in the worship of God. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Now, where's the worshipers of God? At the feet of Christ. I mean everybody in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Then who are these people over here worshiping God who don't know the Son? There is no such thing. They're pagan, heathen. They're idol worshippers. They're worshiping a God they do not know. Christ said to the woman at the well, "You worship what you don't even know." She said, "I worship God. Our Father sit in this mountain." He said, "You and your father, neither one know what you're worshiping." But God hath given him a name. And I'll tell you, baptism, it means nothing without Christ. It's his death, burial, and resurrection. I don't understand why these fellows that preach Christ, why they sprinkle, why they use water in any shape, form, or fashion. He's the water. Baptism is Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. My death with him, my burial, my resurrection to walk with him. Baptism is a foolish thing to perform if Christ is not all. It's dumb. And then they have the wafer and the wine, and they're called sacraments or communion or whatever they want to call it. It's the Lord's table. And without the Lord, there ain't no table. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take eat. This is my blood shed for you." And without Christ, the wine and the wafer is nothing. It's idolatry. It's foolishness. It's nothing but superstition. Prayer. What's prayer without Christ? He said, "What you ask in my name, the Father will give you." He said, "There's one mediator between God and me, and that's the man Christ Jesus." So you don't do business in prayer without Christ. And everything God gives you through the mediator is because of what he did, not what you did. So you shut up to, there's no such thing as prayer without Christ. One time the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, what was his name? Smith. He got in trouble years ago about saying God didn't hear a Jew when he prayed because he didn't believe in Christ. He got in trouble. Can you imagine how much trouble he got into? He's telling the truth. In fact, he could have said, "God doesn't hear a Baptist pray without Christ." He might, if he'd worded it that way, he'd have come out smelling like a rose, you know. But no, God doesn't hear anybody pray without Christ. There's one mediator, my soul. Here's the fifth thing. Listen, Christ is all. Christ is all in every grace. That's right. If you and I have any grace at all, it's Christ. And I hear these preachers say, "Well, preach practical godliness." Not without Christ, you don't. There ain't no godliness without Christ. God's given him all things. There's nothing pertaining to the Father, related to the Father, or of the Father, or to the Father, apart from Christ. Let's talk about faith. Let's preach on faith. Where are we going to start? He's the author and finisher of our faith. That's what says, consider Christ Jesus. Our great high priest is the author and finisher of our faith. Alpha and Omega. And everything in between. Well, let's talk about love. We love him because he first loved us. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I love you. How are you going to preach love without Christ? He's the very criteria of love. He is love. Apart from him, there's no love. You have to start and finish with Christ if you preach love. What about hope? Let's preach on hope. Got a good hope. Us primitive Baptists like to talk about hope. Hope, 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 hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. A preacher told me one time, said, "If you assign me to write a thesis on hope," he said, "I just use six words, Christ in you, seven words, the hope of glory. Hand it in, get an A." That's all there is to it.
All right, well, let's talk about forgiveness.
Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake forgave you.
Well, let's talk about giving.
Whole 8th and 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians talks about giving, but it's based on one thing. He gave himself. He who was rich for your sake became poor, that you through his poverty.
Let's talk about humility. Need to preach on humility. How about 56 sermons on humility? Humility and how I attained it. Anything I'm proud of is my humility.
Let's talk about humility. Just one place to start. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the habit of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As your example. If you can be high and mighty after reading that, something wrong. If you can be arrogant and proud after seeing what he went through for you, something wrong.
That's right.
You can't make a Christian without Christ. And when God makes him a Christian, Christ in him will stick out. He sure will.
Let's talk about witnessing.
He said, you're my witnesses.
Well, let's talk about the Holy Spirit.
He said, he'll glorify me. He'll take the things of mine and show them to you. You can talk about the Holy Spirit without talking about Christ, because the Holy Spirit will, every time the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks of Christ. He'll not speak of himself. Let's talk about perseverance. He preached on perseverance. Keep people coming, giving, working, laboring. Thank God. He that begun a good work in you is going to finish it. And he is able to keep you from falling. And he's the only one who can.
Well, let's consider service.
Sat down and washed his disciples' feet. He got up and said, now, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. That's preaching the grace of God. The graces of God, we preach them in Christ. God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See what I'm talking about? And that's the reason I never run out of something to preach, and I preach Christ every Sunday and half of 39 years and every morning and every night. Preach Christ. And you never run out of something to preach because he filleth all and in all. And then here's my conclusion. All right. If Christ is all and in all, and all things are in Christ, and I'm in Christ. And if Christ is all to me, listen to me, four conclusions. If Christ is all to me, then the loss of anything or anyone in this world for his sake is no loss at all. If he's all, and in all, then the loss of anything or anyone is no loss at all. That's the reason Paul said this, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, will I do count it but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. There's nothing, no relationship or ownership or partnership or anything on this earth that's going to continue except my relationship with him. That's right, not even husband and wives. Not even mother and son. I beg your pardon, not in glory. That relationship will not continue. We'd be one family. Christ said, who's my mother? Who's my father? Who's my brother? Who's my sister? These that do the will of God. There's no relationship, partnership, ownership, or anything like that that'll continue. Only your relationship with him. So the loss of anything or anyone for his sake is no loss at all. That's right. Secondly, if Christ is all, then I can say with Jacob, then I have all. I have everything. If I have Christ, I have everything. show you something interesting. Turn to Genesis 33. This will be interesting. I want you to turn over there. And what I'm telling you is true. I looked these things up before I try to give them. You remember when Esau met Jacob? Jacob met Esau, and Jacob thought Esau was going to kill him, and Jacob tried to get Esau to take a big present. You remember he had all kinds of things for him? In Genesis 33, now listen. Genesis 33, verse 9. You got it? Don't start till you have it. Genesis 33, 9. Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. I have enough." You look that up in your Hebrew concordance, and the word is, "I have plenty." Now, you look up the word enough, as it's used right there. I have plenty. All right, read on. "Keep that that thou hast to thyself." Jacob said, "No, I pray thee, if now I found grace in your sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing. Take it that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, because I have enough." What is the word enough there? I have everything. Esau said, "I have plenty." Jacob said, "I have everything. I have Christ." Did Milton, when he was here, tell y'all about Fidel? Fidel, the head cowboy at the ranch down in Chiapas. Did he tell about Fidel? Well, Fidel's the head cowboy down there. Darce and I have been going down that ranch in Chiapas now for 3 or 4 years. And we know him, and he comes to the service. He's a rough cowboy. He's head of all the fellows that take care of the coffee beans and everything around there. And he lives near the ranch in a little old hut there surrounded by the grass fields. And you can see him right now as he comes to the service. He has a hat in his hand. He sits on the back row or stands in the doorway and listens to us preach. The Lord saved him recently. Milton baptized him. Milton known him for years. But he came to the knowledge of Christ. Now, you may find this hard to believe, but this happened. There's some things happened down there that are very unusual, and they do in a lot of countries. But Fidel told Milton, he said, "When you and Mahan were here," and Mahan was preaching, he said he told a story. And he said the story was that a native asked a missionary what salvation was. I told this story in a message. Milton was translating for him. This man speaks Spanish, nothing else. And I said to them, well, it's like this. The missionary said this. I told the story. I said, the missionary told the native, he said, "This is salvation." He made a circle of leaves and twigs. You've heard this before. A whole circle of leaves and twigs all around him. Then he found a worm and put the worm right in the middle of that circle on the ground and set it on fire all the way around. All the way around. And that worm started this way and ran into the fire and backed off. He started this way, backed off, started this way, backed off. No way out. And I said, "That's us. Sinners. Surrounded by judgment, condemnation, a curse, and the wrath of God. And there's no way out." But I said, then the missionary reached down and picked up the worm and lifted him out of danger, out of trouble, and put him over in the nice, damp, wet soil. And the worm wiggled down into the soil. The missionary saved him because he would. And Fidel said, "That worm was me." And he said, "Brother Milton, months ago I had a dream. Months ago, before y'all came down here for that meeting over at the ranch, when God spoke to me, I had a dream. And he said, in my dream, my house was on fire. I mean, the grass around the house was on fire. All around the field was on fire. And my family and I had no way out. And God reached down and lifted me out." So he said, when that preacher told that story, it shocked me. He said, because I had dreamed that months ago. And God spoke to me. Isn't that unusual? And so But he, this drunkenness is a real problem down there. The owner of the ranch has an Alcoholics Anonymous that meets there on the ranch every other week. Fidel quit coming. He was always one of the key members of AA, you know, he and Roberto both, and all those fellas around there. But he quit coming, and Carmelita went to him and said, "You're not coming to Alcoholics Anonymous anymore now. Fidel, you better come." He said, "I don't need it." She said, "What do you mean you don't need it?" He said, "I got Christ now. I don't need Alcoholics Anonymous. I have plenty. I have all things. If I have Christ, I have all things." That's right. And then thirdly, if Christ is all, then the honors and the profits and the pleasures of this world will just fade away. Paul said, "I know how to abound and I know how to be abased." He said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content." That's hard. That's hard. And we don't ever learn it once for all. We are learning it. I found out when I got over in Australia, I hadn't learned it near as well as I thought I did. That's a long ways from home. And it's a lot different, too. And back-breaking and tiresome. 24 sermons in 24 days in 11 different churches, 1,560 miles apart, traveling every day, all day long. I wasn't too content. But I'm learning. I'm learning. Learning. And I'll tell you one thing that helps us a little bit. If we'll just realize, and your pastor pointed this out to me the other night, we were talking about children. He said Walter Gruber took five babies to Mexico 20-some-odd years ago. Five little children, all under 6 years old, weren't they? Six down. And raised them down there in heathenism, paganism, dope smuggling, and everything else. And all five of them came out loving the Lord Jesus Christ and worshiping God, loving the gospel, and walking with God. So God's able, isn't he? If we'll just trust him. We have Christ, we have all. And this, I'll close, I'll quit. If I have Christ, and then, of course, some of us in here are getting a little older. And let's face it. Let's face it now. The Master's going to come one of these days and call for us. He is going to. Now, right, Miss Jones, he's going to call for us. And he may call some of you younger ones before he calls us. We just might be around a long time, might we, Virgie? Like old Brother Harry, 95 years old. Or that old preacher down in Florida is 92, preached with me in that Bible conference. He's the one that said, "I can see through my bifocals and my hearing aids work just fine and I can live with my dentures, but I do miss my mind, you know." But I tell you, when death comes, when Christ calls, if Christ is all, then I can welcome that gentleman because he won't do anything but take me to the arms of Christ. That's right. Even so come, Lord Jesus. One of the hymn writers put it this way, "The moon and the stars shall lose their light. Someday the sun's going to sink in the endless night. And heaven and earth, as we know it, shall pass away. The works of nature shall all decay. But they to whom Christ is all and in all, though lost and ruined by the fall, shall see the danger overpass, stand the storm, rise at last. For what Christ said will be fulfilled, and on that rock a believer builds. His blood shall stand, his truth prevail, and not one word or promise fail." Now you can rest in that, can't you? You know, that's the only thing this old sinful nature, heart of ours, that he is the only rest. There's no other rest. It's just resting in Christ. He is our peace. And that'll rejoice your heart. All right. Thank you, Brother Paul.